And then maybe this is a way to bring closing here to this, our bridge to cross. What does that mean?
There's still something to do regarding race in America and maybe race in the world. There's still a bridge to cross. Ms. Camille and I crossed a bridge. We honestly crossed a bridge and left me with the idea that the impossible is possible, that we can live together. We can share our lives together. She treated me like I was her son.
Then when she sensed the end was near, she didn't want to die in the plantation house.
She didn't. She wanted to die in a house that she had designed. But it was more than the design of the house that was important. There was a black person, a lady that I've never met. They had been friends all of their lives. But in their older years, she said, we will spend our last years together. She didn't tell me she was black until the end of it. Went through the house, saw the rooms, everything. Beautiful place. I mean, walk right up Architectural Digest. Just beautiful. And she said, she will have everything that I have. Everything will be equal in this house. I will never forget that.
Hmm. Did you go to her funeral?
I did not. I couldn't go to her funeral. I wanted to go badly. And I either was out of town or out of the country. But when the book came out, it made its debut in Natchez.
Okay.
All of her family came. And we've stayed in touch throughout all the time.
Think a motion picture could be made out of this?
Either a motion picture or a Broadway play. I think it would lend it, because it's only two major characters, really. That's she and I.
All started on an invitation.
Yeah. Just a simple invitation to supper became an invitation to the possibilities of our future.
If I asked you who had the greatest impact on your life, it probably wouldn't be just one person.
No.
You'd have to name several of them.
I would have to
that
name
you've
several.
Already named. Just name them.
My great-grandfather, Joe Young. My great-grandmother, Mama Pearl. My great-aunt, Mama Punk. My Uncle Cleve, who owned the Ice House. And my mother, Mary.
On your career as a writer, here we are in 2018. You've written 13 books. Do you have other ideas for books later on, or have they not come to you yet?
They have not come to me yet. Something tells me that there's something else I need to write. I just don't know what it is. Nothing has happened to ignite that writing passion, because when it was time to write The Invitation, I rewrote that book 3 times. I was not satisfied.
That's something, to write it three times.
Because I didn't want it to be a treatise on race. I want it to be exactly as it happened. Two people's paths crossing for 5 years. We never discussed race.
Completely opposite of each other.
Completely opposite of each other.
She had hired your kinfolk.
Hired.
In spirit. Not actually. But she hired cotton pickers.
Yeah, but her great-grandparents owned slaves. We were on the same plantation. The only reason the house hadn't burned down is because during the Civil War, the North used it as one of their headquarters. That's why General Fremont had his regiment based there at Roselawn Plantation. It was a slave plantation.
Now, we didn't attach slavery to your story. Is there slavery that you know about?
In my family?
Yeah.
Yes. My great-great-great-grandparents, Saul Peters and Adelia Peters, they were both born slaves in Marengo County, Alabama. 1849 was my great-great-grandpa Saul, and his wife was born in 1855, both born into slavery.
Do you embrace that? Some I've read, they kind of shun, I come from a slave background and so forth. Look how successful you are. It'd be real easy to you to say, yes, I come from slavery. I come from cotton picking.
Yeah. I've never had a problem living with the truth of my life. And I've never had a problem living with the fact that the road of my life is still being traveled.
Yeah, this journey you're on, somebody upstairs did a lot of directing.
Oh, no doubt. You know, you look up there, I'm at the FBI headquarters, speaking at the Bohemians Club in San Francisco. Sandra Day O'Connor was there for that meeting. Staff I'm working with in Boise, Idaho. This is my wife. I'm giving a speech for Frank Keating at the governor's mansion. And it was right before the people came in that I took a picture of Barbara there. That guy that I worked for, a white guy that was very close friends, that's one of the official ballots from South Africa when Nelson Mandela became president. He said, Clifton, you should have this, not me.
Nelson Mandela, I have it in my notes here. He requested a copy of your book.
The first book, Once Upon a Time, We Will Call It, was requested by Nelson Mandela through the ambassador to South Africa, who called David Boren's office to see if he could get a copy of that book. They called me. In fact, it was Ken Levitt, the same Ken Levitt that's here today. He was a young lawyer in Washington, D.C. Ken called me, and I autographed about 7 books trying to get my name right. And I finally sent one in, never heard back from them. They got it, but they never said anything about it. And about 5 years later, through the International Visitors Program out of D.C., Oklahoma and Tulsa in particular was chosen to host a number of attorneys from Africa and other countries in the world. There were several from Pretoria. We hosted the several from Pretoria at our home. And when she walked in, she didn't even speak. She said, "Mr. Talbert, we know of your work in Pretoria. The president keeps the little book on his desk."
Wow. Blessed. Can you use the word blessed in your life?
I can, without any question. Because I look at how my life started and how it could have ended, I can only say that the hand of faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith, was dealing the cards.
Right. So we know what racism was like way back in your days, and we were 5 and 6 years old. Here we are, 2018. We'll always have racism on Earth.
Yeah.
There'll always be there. There'll always be that tension between Palestinians and Jews, between blacks and whites. Is it better today, or is it more refined? Do you still feel it today in the community?
I would say I still feel it, but I feel it from a different perspective. I feel it from knowing that someone has issues that they haven't gotten over. I try not to let it dictate my actions and my response to humanity. And like we started in our conversation, Harry and Meghan, when I looked at the official picture of the royal family, the wedding, with Dori Raglan, Meghan's mother, obviously African-American, standing in the midst with the king and queen of England, the princes, the duchesses, and their children, the royal family, that has sent a very stirring message to the world of what is possible. And you are right. We will always have those who will not like that picture. But we will always have those who said, "I've waited for this picture all my life."
But there were many who were waiting for the first black to be president of the United States.
Right.
And that happened too.
Right.
That had to make you...
You know what I was doing the night President Obama became president?
What?
I wasn't at Tulsa. I was helping to train the FBI. There was 2 being trained at the same time. The FBI was being trained outside of Chicago and the FBI in Arizona. Who was going to be the detail group that would take care of the president.
And you were training them?
A part of it. There's a whole training session, but the work that I do, and these were the people who would eventually be his protectors in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah. And I went back to my room that night, and Barbara and I was on the phone talking, back and forth, watching. And when they said, when he had won, I mean, it's just like more water came out of my body than out of a fountain.
Right.
I cried in complete joyful disbelief because I never, ever, ever thought I would see that in our country.